today on Rocking the Suburbs.
Dissonant catches your ear. It's a little funky, a little sour. It's fun.
All right, welcome to the podcast. The members of Cutest Nuisance. I didn't wear my shirt right now, but I do wear my shirt proudly about. I really do. Patrick will attest to that. I have been seen around the Northern Virginia and Washington, D.C. area.
Yes, very
proudly.
True. Very true.
Wearing my Cutest Nuisance shirt that I got 2 years ago at Suburbs Fest in Chicago, where you guys played. And you.
That's right.
It's great. We love Cutest Nuisance. You guys are awesome.
Thanks, man. We had so much fun during that. Still got my shirt too. we tallied them out, and still fits great, thankfully.
Right.
Yeah. No, that was a blast. We loved working with you guys on that.
It worked out great. So now, first off, for the listeners, introduce yourselves one by one here, please.
Yeah, sure. My name's Devin Brizak. I play guitar and I sing for Cutest Nuisance.
My name is Matt Cortez. I play drums, or no, I don't play drums anymore. I play bass. I've always played bass for Cutest Nuisance.
It's early.
Good morning.
My name is Melissa Hernandez. I play guitar in Cutest Nuisance.
Right, right. And then there's one other member who's not here, right?
Yeah. Brad, our drummer, and Brad are all.
So Matt, you have to do double duty.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Here we go.
Got two hands for a reason.
Okay. So the new album is called Happy Accident. And we're going to go through this track by track. But before we do that, can you give us sort of an overview? You know, what do you want listeners to get from this album as a whole piece?
As a whole piece, I feel like the album kind of covers a lot of the range of emotions of dealing with sort of loss and finding yourself, nostalgia, because I'm approaching my 30s, so there's been a lot of self-reflection for myself, and so a lot of the lyrics deal with kind of leaving that, you know, youthful, like early 20s, you know, shooting out of a cannon kind of feeling of life, and settling down a little bit. So I think a lot of that is me kind of just realizing what life is moving forward and being okay with that. So I think a lot of it has to do with kind of nostalgia, but trucking on ahead. That's what I'd say.
When you figure that out, Devin, please let us know. Okay.
Oh yeah, of course. Just listen to the album. You'll
all right. Good. Patrick, you get a chance to listen to this whole thing.
Yeah, I did. And you know, like I said, it's great. Talk a little bit about the title, because having been messing around in bands myself and, you know, done some home recording, done a little bit of recording in the studio, not much, but Happy Accident seems to always come up as a thing, right? Like, oh man, we didn't mean exactly to do that, or whatever you just did right there, I didn't mean to do it, it was an accident. You know, like, how much did that play into, you know, going with that as a title?
Like 100% of it.
Okay.
whether it's like the band side of things, or just, you know, how life works out, it really just goes back into what I was saying before. I mean, you guys know when you're playing live or you're working on music, that's kind of how it happens. And for us, there's actually a couple of moments in the album where, you know, bits and pieces of demos made them from the songs, made their way into the album. And we were just talking about it. You know, I had a track title or an album title in mind for maybe a year, and it just wasn't ever sitting right with me. And then, you know, somebody brought up the word or the phrase "happy accident," and I kind of thought that was just like perfect, you know, serendipitous to how the whole album, the whole experience, even my experience as a musician, you know, the past 10 plus years in the Chicago area. It just seems to lead up to this moment. That's how it felt. You know, I've been in a lot of bands, and this one was the most dedicated and just like the most, you know, wholesome kind of family feeling. It just seemed to fall into place. And I think that's exactly why we went with it. Just kind of fits.
That's interesting you say that, because one thing, having seen you live and then listening to this record, you can tell that there's real chemistry with the members of the band. Like you're producing something that's, you know, to use a cliche, but I really think it's true when I listen to this, it's like, you know, greater than the sum of its parts. Like I listen to it, it feels like a complete work where everybody is, you know, in sync and working together. And it sounds like you're feeling that too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what it comes back to mostly. I think gratitude, and just respect for everyone in the band. We have a lot of fun doing this, but we work hard at it. And I think that's, you know, above all, if you have the respect and you have the love, everything else is just kind of a bonus. And we've been flying through it. I mean, it hasn't come easy, you know, even with the chemistry, because we put a lot of ourselves into it. So there's disagreements there, you know, creative ideas or differences, but at the end of the day, I think we're all trying to serve the song and then eventually the album.
Yeah.
You know? So we're making decisions based on what we think Cutest Nuisance is, not what each one of us is, you know?
Right, right, right. I mean, disagreements are good if they, you know, make the creative thing you're working on, the piece of art, better, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. Everyone's got a voice here, and we definitely are vocal with it. So that's what I love the most, is the collaboration part of it.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, let's get into this record, Happy Accident. Starts off with the first song, as any album should start with the first song, Everyone Else. Patrick and I are always curious on this. You know, how do you pick the lead off track?
Oh, that was a tough one. You know, that one kind of came easy, because the rest of the track listing was a little bit harder to go through in terms of guiding the listener or whoever. But the first one, I don't know, when we cut it, it starts off really strong, you know, and it's a little bit volatile, I'd say, and explosive towards the rest of the middle part of the album, which kind of gets a little softer and pulls you in. But But for me, it was just kind of a statement, because the song itself deals with a lot of self-loathing. And I think to get that off my chest right away and just say, you know, this is how I feel, this is who I am, and moving on from that, then I feel like that kind of just sets the tone for the record, at least for me. And that's why I picked it, just because it just felt the most honest lyrically. It's you know, not a very the lyrics aren't, they don't have too much, you know, layers. It's I pretty much lay it out for how it is. And for me, I thought that was kind of just fitting, just to start it off with the bang and as honest as I could, you know. So yeah, I like how it explodes right off the bat. So
I was going to say something very similar. I love the fact that there's, 15, 20 seconds of bass, you know, before, and you're not sure what's going to happen. So you're automatically building some tension right at the beginning, which is great, because a lot of times you're like, first song in an album, okay, here's everything. But I love that, okay, is this going to be Queens of the Stone Age, or what is going to happen, you know, when you actually get a little bit farther in the song? So I thought that was great. Very yeah. gripping to begin, especially when you hear so many albums and so many songs these days. It's great to get something immediately. Suddenly, it's just one instrument, but brings you a lot of tension.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Matt with his bass and those fingers. Lots of drama.
So Matt, did you know you'd be the, you know, leading off this album?
Honestly, I had no idea. Devin brought the song idea to us one rehearsal, and we just started learning it and writing it and recording it. And there was no thought in my head of you know, thinking, oh, this will definitely be the first track. But it ended up being the first track, which was pretty cool. I felt, you know, honored by Devin to just be like, here, you're going to open it and then you're going to start this song off and this and that. And I was like, oh no, okay, I'll hold it down steady. Let's do it.
And tell us a little bit about, there's a part in the song that is like sort of muffled talking sort of effect, right? So what is going on there?
That one, kind of just self affirmations, you know, words to yourself. As for the production part of it, where it's muffled, I don't know, it's almost like a message to me, you know, like an intimate little reminder. A lot of the lyrics in that part are mantras that I would say to myself during the time that we were writing this.
Interesting. So it's like a, like an internal dialogue sort of, and then the listener maybe is getting a peek, you know, getting to peer into that a little bit.
Yeah. And to me, you can almost classify the mantras as a little bit cheesy. But that's like the point. Just a self-affirmation. And when we started playing the song live, it felt really good to say, you know, to myself in front of the whole crowd. And, you know, I would hope that when people do, if they do dive into the lyrics, you know, it kind of gives them a little bit of something they can take away from it too.
All right. So then we go into the next song, Something for Nothing.
Words you can bank on them, nothing.
This is sort of another, would you classify it as like mid-tempo on a tune? But that's one of the things I noticed about your band is you do, you don't have to ramp up the beats per minute to get sort of an intensity to your music. So tell us a little bit about Something for Nothing.
Yeah, this one, I think this might qualify for the oldest song on the album. This is something that we've been working on since maybe 2020, yeah, somewhere around there. So I think it was the first demo that we kind of we liked. We had like a passage of it and then just let it sit for a while because we weren't sure what to do with it. And everybody, you know, when we were thinking about what songs we wanted to do for the album, this one came back up because everyone was a fan of the main riff. So we kind of wrote it, I wouldn't say in a hurry because it took the longest to finish. It was one of the last few songs that we actually finished for the album. But yeah, it was just a groove. I think we had the music for it first. The lyrics came very last. And I think the chord progression was what everyone loved the most in terms of just the feeling, you know, that kind of mid-tempo, like, intensity that you're talking about. And the lead riff was just, it was just fun. It kind of reminiscent of a little bit of a bluesier track, but we just had a lot of fun with it. It feels really good to play. And it's, in terms of the chord progression, it's pretty simple, but you know, sometimes less is more. And that's what we were operating off of this whole album. We really weren't trying to overthink it.
Melissa, as a guitar player, this has got to be a fun one to play, right? It just like you were saying, because it kind of floats and expands, and it seems like there's lots of room for you to sort of do what you do.
Yeah, especially live. I think it has a really good feel. We can kind of play with the tempo and feeling more as well with our dynamics as a whole band. So I like how the song doesn't change too drastically with chords or anything. It's really just how we actually play those chords. And it's a big difference.
And that ties in with what Devin was just saying about keep it simplistic, and also gives you a lot of room to, you know, go from there. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Devin, you mentioned this was the oldest song, or, you know, the earliest song written for this album. What period of time are we looking at here in terms of the songwriting for this, those songs on this album?
The period of time, I'd say we started, we, to tell you the truth, Jim, we didn't really have a plan for the album as a whole when it started.
Mm-hmm.
We had the collection of songs, we had a few singles out, and we knew we wanted to make an album, but we weren't sure what that was going to look like with, you know, sounds and influences. But I'd say we started technically writing this album, you know, with that in mind, probably late 2021, early.
Oh, wow.
No, sorry. That was really early. I'd say early 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when that demo came out, and we had released the EP. We knew we wanted to work towards an album, but we were playing a lot of shows and it really wasn't on the top of our list. But yeah, I'd say we're coming up on almost 2 years of the album writing. We finished the last song. I think we finished the last song a few months ago. So it's not really been, yeah. So it's been a, you know, a flowing work in progress, but once we had the idea, we just ran with it. And yeah. Everybody was on board with it. So,
all right. Okay. So, Melissa, you were talking a little bit about the guitar playing in Something for Nothing, but now we're into the third song here, Junk. And I wanted to ask you and I guess Devin as well, you know, to me, I found these guitar lines to be really interesting, the way they sort of work together. Or
yeah. Today I save myself, it's a miracle. One foot off the ledge and the other is just waiting around. Hard to see the ground, but I'll keep climbing, lining my right foot over the left. So save it for the judge, you know that he would never hear my case. Save it for the judge, and he'll say, hey.
I think one day we were just, Devin, Matt, and I, we were jamming at the studio in between recording some tracks. And that main rhythm guitar came out. I just started jamming on those two chords. And it was just really fun, really rhythmic too. And then, so we just started jamming on that. And then I took those same chords and separated the notes and came up with that, like, just really funky intro guitar riff. I think the idea there was just to have just the more fun, bouncy guitar parts. A lot of our other songs are more just driven, just really on the twos and the fours and everything. So this one's just more syncopated and just more fun.
Devin?
Yeah, that one, she put it good. Whenever we were jamming on it, she hit those two chords with the line that she has. And I went, ooh, what is that? I was drawn to it immediately. And I think we jammed on those two chords just like you hear on the album for like 10 minutes. We're like, this, we're finding this. This one came quick. And then we just threw some of the that driving that she was talking about on there with, you know, the main chorus. And it came together. I think that is one of our favorites. It's been in every set list since we wrote it. So, you know, it's dissonant, you know, it's kind of, it catches your ear. It's a little funky, a little sour, but it's fun. I think that's the thing that we love about it, is it's weird, but it's also groovy, and it's heavy too. So, yeah, we had a lot of fun with it. It's definitely one of the staples of our set. I'd like to think, and just different. It's different, but it's very much us.
Yeah. That's a good one. Okay, the fourth song is Dense.
It's Dense, and it's the title. Thank you. Well, I'll say this, Jim, and I think this song probably makes it as good a place as any to say it. When we saw Cutest Nuisance at Suburbs Fest, one of the takeaways I had was, man, there's a lot going on here. Like, not only from what was happening instrumentally and the interaction, but the styles that they were touching on and some of the potential offshoots of where it could go, like, wasn't always, I would say, 100% formed at times. And then other times you're just blown away by, wait, they're doing something melodic on top of, you know, like you were just saying, this off kilter, kind of off balance guitar. And wait, it's going to stop and lurch in another direction right here. And to me, that was so ambitious and so exciting. But I felt like I had some apprehension when I first got the album and listened to it. I was like, did they pull it off? Did they get there? But I think a song like this shows the fact that you actually were able to pull all those disparate kind of elements together and pull it off. And it's so exciting to me.
Oh, thanks, Patrick. I appreciate that. Means a lot. This one was interesting because I'd say it was the most studio song that we worked on. I don't think we played it live once, and I think we're planning to. But it was one of those. I actually wrote this song with Matt. We were just jamming in the studio, and this one came along, same thing. We just found something, you know, that first riff, it builds on a count of nine for a while and then goes into this kind of dream sequence sound of a song. And, you know, I don't really know if we had an idea of what we were going for. I knew we wanted to have some sort of driving build up and then go into something. We wanted to write a pop song, but it never really works out that way with us.
I like that. I like that.
It never works out. We're always like, yeah, let's write something fun and catchy and easy and simple. And we just end up going, you know what? Let's go down this road.
Sabotage it, right?
Yeah. And one day, you know, one day maybe we'll write a 2-minute chart topper, but maybe it might be a while. So you know, I wrote the guitar, the rhythms, and the leads are very, very simple, pentatonic. But, you know, we sent this to, we wrote it in a night. It was one of those nights where you're just up till 3 a.m. because you're just so stoked on something you're working on. And we started and finished the song in one night and sent it to Brad and Melissa as a demo. And they were immediately on board. They loved it. So that made it very easy. They jumped on, they put their sauce on it. And we got Dents. We like this one a lot. It's a little bit different for us, I'd say, in terms of production and general style. But yeah, that was a fun one to work on.
And every band's got the one or two songs they never play live. They never play that live. You know,
yeah. I was going to ask about that because, you know, how it's a big trend, or has been for the last several years now, of bands to go out and tour where they play like a complete album, you know, beginning to end. Right. I saw the New Pornographers do that once a year ago or so, and they played all of Twin Cinema. And Carl Newman was like, you know, some of these songs on this album, I never expected I'd have to play live, and they're really hard. And I just wonder, like, how much do you think about that? How much do you think about, oh, we might have to play this live at some point, and that's going to be difficult? Or do you just say, like, oh, maybe we never will, and it's just a song for the record?
Me personally, I like to write songs that we can definitely perform live, but I have no aversion to just experimenting. We like to mix it up because we're a rock band. So it is nice, but I also, there's like this romantic idea of just working on something in the studio that is just as a piece of, you know, auditory art, something that you can't really put in a box and perform and ship it and package it. But overall, I'd say we tend to write songs that we can play, because that's what we love to do. We love playing first and foremost. But yeah, this one was fun to work on because whether or not, you know, people might find this cool or interesting, I don't think any of us were in the room at the same time when we recorded this song. Hmm. It was me, Matt, and then Melissa came in, and then Brad wrote the drums, but we all recorded this song completely separately on different days. Hmm. It's kind of fun, you know, to see it come together like that. So yeah, we don't really keep that in mind when we're recording. We just like, as long as it sounds good and we're working towards the total vision, we're good with that.
Got it. Okay. All right, let's move on to the fifth song, An Arrangement. This one says featuring Lila Elizabeth. So who is that?
Matt, you wanna talk about Lila?
Oh, Lila. Yeah, she's my honey. But she's also an amazing vocalist and went to school for operatic singing, and she has her own little solo career kind of floating around. She just released a new single. But yeah, she's amazing. And we met her at an open mic. And, you know, obviously I got to know her, and we're still together. You know, our bond started over music, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm in Cutest Nuisance, and, Cutest Nuisance liked Lila too. So we just collaborated. It was, kind of like a magnetic force. It was like, as soon as we were all in the same room together, it's like, yeah, maybe we should try doing something together as a band and as a feature. And that's what An Arrangement turned into.
Nice. What was it about this song in particular that you thought like, oh, that vocal piece, you know, would really work nicely in this one?
The song itself it started off just as a solo acoustic track. But in our typical way, we wanted to build on that. And I just felt like something was missing. And having heard Lila sing, it was more so I was finding a song that she could be on. And that was the one that fit perfectly, because I knew I wanted to have her on the album. Her voice is incredible. She's a great performer, and I knew pretty much any song that we, you know, had her featured on would just, it'd be elevated. So that one, you know, just seemed the most in line with, you know, the kind of music that she typically plays. And the second she got in the studio, the vocal booth with us, it was like, this magic. I knew it was like, this is the one for sure. And so, yeah, I mean, she really, in my opinion, pushed that song way over the edge.
And you guys made a video for this one.
Yeah. Yeah. We made a video. We got three videos for the album, but this was the first one. I think about, yeah, at the beginning of the year, we decided that we had wanted to start doing as much as we can in-house in terms of video production, you know, online content, everything. Because one, everything's getting just so expensive, but also we wanted to have as much control as we could over everything and really push ourselves to have a vision and a aesthetic for Cutest Nuisance. So we shot, you know, we took a lot of really grainy film quality camera footage on tiny little, you know, digital cameras, and just wanted to make something, I guess, with a lot of heart and very little production value and let it stand. So that was kind of the first adventure into making videos, just us. It was a fun challenge, and yeah, it's a sweet little ode to nostalgia, I guess you could say. That's what it is.
I think it does a really nice job of illustrating the song without getting in the way, which to me is the point of a video. So
the company of
music video, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now on the next song, you were talking about this earlier, Devin, when you said like the center of the album, it gets a little dreamier, a little slower, like right here, it really starts to like widescreen. I love it. Yeah.
I totally agree. So this next one is called Seasons.
Seasons was another track that I had started writing with Matt, just me and him, guitar and bass, and again, I think just going in with it, wanting to write a simple, sappy love song, and that's what it turned out to be. Just, I think it's four chords, maybe, and just really big sounds, dreamy. And then we had Melissa come in and write just these blistering leads. I mean, she blew us away with that towards the end, that just the big buildup. And so, yeah, I mean, that song, there wasn't a whole lot. It just came together really quick and we loved it. Just very, ear candy for us. So, yeah, another song about looking back and nostalgia and the seasons of your life. It's pretty much, you know, an apt name for it.
I noticed in the credits, at least on Bandcamp, Melissa is credited with mixing. So what was that process like, Melissa? Was that really like a very last step kind of a thing for the music, or where did that come in?
Yeah, kind of song by song. We already had four singles out by the time we got the rest of the songs recorded. But as we finished the songs, I went in and kind of the last finishing touches that we put on, we kind of went through all of the songs and just made sure that everything sounded consistent with each other. So nothing was kind of glaring, but it was a fun process. I love getting into the nitty gritty of all the tracks and, like, you know, automating, creating those moments and those little things that you don't really see, of course, like when you're producing.
Right, right. And did you have the tendency to push your own guitar up maybe just a little bit higher on this one? Or
a couple tracks, yeah.
Yeah, where it really needs to be there.
Fun with that. Yeah, because Seasons has some guitar layers that we did with, like, Devin's whammy box, stuff like that. So we did have fun with just automating guitars. But I do try to hold back. I know it's try not to push myself too forward.
It's always difficult when you're something that you're on.
All right, so that takes us to the end of side one, right?
Yes, it does, Jim. That brings us to the end of side one. I want to thank Cutest Nuisance for showing up and chatting with us. And guess what? There's more tomorrow. We get the B-side of the record, side two of Happy Accident by the Cutest Nuisance. Will be discussed tomorrow. And all you have to do is stay tuned right here on your podcast dial and make sure you're subscribed to our show and the download will come right to you. That's all you have to do. And we are very much looking forward to that conversation. So let's get to bed and wake up so we can listen to it tomorrow. All right. We'll talk to you guys then.
I don't think you played it live once.